WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome to our salute to MTSU this morning on the Action Line. And we're going to be talking about the great things happening in Blue Raider Country. Hunter Moore is with us, and he is with the Public History Department at MTSU. Public history. Tell what is public history as opposed to private history?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, that's something I'm learning about, too, when I was accepted as a PhD student in this program and began last spring. I didn't know a lot about public history, but I had an undergraduate degree in history, and what I learned was public history really is focused, as it sounds like, on the public. And what public historians learn, they turn and share with the public more than they do with other academics. They do both. And academic historians often share what they know with the public, but our focus is learning about the public and sharing that information.
And as you work toward your doctorate degree, you're working on some very interesting topics.
Thanks.
I mean, this is an area rich with music, but you're looking at it from a unique angle. Your research is exploring the music and musicians in Spanish-speaking churches in Murfreesboro.
That's right.
Tell us about it. I've never even thought about it.
Well, as I was considering what to do, a project based my research on for a project in my public history seminar last spring with Dr. Martha Norkunis, she encouraged us to find a local topic that we could dig into. And I'm a musician. That's my background. I worked on Music Row in Nashville in the 1980s and early 1990s. And just have a real profound interest in all kinds of music, but wanted to find a local topic. And I'm interested in the local immigrant community. And as I looked at that group and people from different countries, the largest group is the Spanish-speaking people that are here. And I was interested in learning more about their music, the music that they were performing locally. And I learned the best place to find that was in the local churches. When I would ask and say, where's this music performed? People would say, well, we're working so hard, we don't have time to perform much outside of out of home and church, but go to the church. And so I began researching, trying to find these churches, to attend these churches, hear the music, and interact with the musicians.
Now, did you notice a lot of traditional music coming into the United States and to our Murfreesboro churches through these Spanish people?
Absolutely. There's wonderful live music happening in a number of these churches, very talented people who are bringing music that was popular in their home countries and their talents and abilities that were developed in church, but also in playing in clubs and around, just like you would hear if you were a musician, and then providing that music in these services. Some of the music would be familiar songs, familiar hymns to English-speaking churchgoers here, but it has a different sound and a different feeling, which I really enjoyed hearing the difference.
It's interesting to hear different music played with different instruments. What are the instruments that are used that make this, gives it a unique sound, I guess?
Well, there's a strong influence on percussion and rhythm. Though you certainly find rhythm in the music in English-speaking churches, too. They're just a different syncopation. I think you would think about that with Hispanic music, Latino music. There's different rhythms that are used. And I performed with one of the worship groups at St. Rose of Lima named Los Angeles de Dios. They have two main Spanish-speaking services at the church, and each has a separate worship band. And the one that I performed with, that I got to know best, has pretty standard instrumentation, bass, drums, guitar, and vocalist. That's the Saturday band. Well, it was the Saturday band. Now that service is on Sunday afternoon. Tuesday night, the worship choir is primarily Guatemalan, and they are really heavy on percussion. They have timbales, congas, and a metal instrument called a güira that's scraped. So you get a very percussive sound there. But the just the melodies and, again, the rhythm make it, give it that distinctive sound to me.
Music always tells the story of the people, of the times, of the challenges that they're facing. Is that true with religious music?
Absolutely. A lot of the musical influences, as I talked to Pablo and Laura Morales, are the leaders of this particular choir, Los Angeles, about their influences. And a lot of that influence came through popular music as well as church music, traditional music, styles of music that are less familiar in the United States. But the church in the Latino community is a really important source of connection. And for people who have left their homes, their home countries, and come to a new country and are learning a new culture and a new language, those points of social connection become really important, and the church serves for that purpose for them.
Now, you received back in 2017 a Fulbright grant to do some research on composers of calypso music in Trinidad and Tobago. Does this fit in with this also?
Well, it does in terms of my interest in music, but also music of different cultures and how that music functions for people in that culture. How does it ground them, so to speak? How does that help them? How does that form their identity? And when I was in Trinidad, and calypso music's a traditional music, it began in Trinidad. It's part of the whole history of the people who left Africa and came to Trinidad and were enslaved there, and how they developed their identity, and eventually leading to the independence of the island. But the music is still very popular there today.
Now, when you look at calypso, I date back to Harry Belafonte.
Absolutely.
Which I guess was the 50s?
56.
Is that when calypso began, or has it been around for centuries?
Well, it was not called calypso until the early 1900s, the kind of the musical forerunners of it were in place, but they weren't calling it calypso to that point. And it did have a surge of popularity in the 1930s. A couple of prominent calypso artists came to New York City, performed on Rudy Valley's national radio broadcast. And then Harry Belafonte's album Calypso in 1956 was actually the first platinum-selling record of any kind in the United States. So there was a big surge in that mid 1950s period. Some country artists did some calypso records. Chet Atkins did one. I think Marty Robbins did one. But then rock and roll kind of stole the limelight. And but it's still there in the background.
Is the feel of calypso also heard in today's Hispanic music?
You know, there's a Caribbean influence. The music, it's really interesting how music flowed and still continues to flow out of Africa into the Caribbean, back to Africa. You hear a real mix of influences and all of that. So a lot of the rhythmical part of that is African, but then it gets mixed up with music from Spain and the Spanish-speaking countries in the New World.
Now, when will you know that you have your research together to feel I have done a good job on this? We're ready to start bringing this writing to a conclusion.
Well, I had to find an ending point just for, because this project that I did was just a semester-long project. It could become the basis of my dissertation. I haven't decided that yet. But there's so much more to explore here, because depending on where people in these choirs come from, they have different influences. The people from Guatemala are influenced by different things than the people that come here from Mexico. And depending on the tradition, the Baptist Spanish-speaking congregations are kind of like, resemble American English-speaking congregations in terms of how they dress, how they, the hymns that they sing, you would identify as like In the Garden and some traditional Baptist type hymns in those churches. So how, you know, it's interesting to think about, how did that music get there? How did it come back? How did it travel? Mexico, for example, didn't allow American evangelical radio broadcasts until the 1940s or 1950s. And so then they begin getting American English-speaking radio broadcasts with music coming from the United States, and that becomes an influence. And then those people move here, and it comes back. So there's a lot of back and forth. And I don't think there's ever any real end to that study, but I think it is underreported. And as I tried to look for books and articles on this topic, there really weren't a lot. So it's an area that needs more research.
There's been quite a bit of discussion of using the history of local music, which mm-hmm. is basically what you're talking about, but a different twist mm-hmm. to it, to tell the story of local history. And you're saying that the people coming in from South America, Central America, mm-hmm. They're bringing that history. And yes, this is a good foundation for historical studies.
Music it is, because it gives you a window into these much bigger topics, but it's grounded into real people. It's grounded into Pablo and Laura and the people at St. Rose. They're people that live here, that work here, but as you look at that, it tells a much larger story, kind of like the Ken Burns Country documentary series. You look at particular people, but it tells you a much larger story.
Now, as you look at their story, does it spread back over the decades and into other people in their countries?
Sure. Well, it takes you back to their country and the stories that they were part of there, but it also makes you think, what is the history of Spanish-speaking people in the United States, and how has that changed? There's been a large increase in that population, but there has been a Spanish-speaking population in the United States for hundreds of years, and so where does that connect into that history? This is just the latest version of an old story.
So if we were looking at our own history, you would look back at Elvis Presley, Little mm-hmm. Richard, people of that sort, and they, too, have a story of what's happening in that period.
Mm-hmm. What did they grow? You know, what did they hear when they were growing up? What influenced them? Elvis was influenced by Southern gospel music, also the music by African Americans, and so yeah, I think to me that intersection of local history and music is really exciting, because it's not theoretical; it's real people, real events.
Have there been any things that have popped up in your studies that have surprised you?
You know, I think that I haven't been too surprised, because I didn't go in with a lot of preconceived ideas about what I would find. I think the only thing that maybe surprised me was just the scope of how much music there was in the community, and how much of actually seeing the culture, not that there was a culture, but seeing how rich the culture was amazing. And I think I've just kind of stuck my toe in the water. I think there's a lot more there.
We have about 30 seconds left. Is there a final thought you'd like to share with us on what you've discovered in this period of studying local Spanish-speaking churches here in Murfreesboro?
Well, I think for people who aren't Spanish-speaking, who would be less aware of this, because there isn't a central directory. I couldn't find a central directory to tell me where these churches were. I had to drive around, look, I had to ask. Just know that below the surface, and this would be more than just the Spanish-speaking community, there's a lot you can't see that can be appreciated, a lot of rich life, culture, people who are working, singing, playing, creating, that's all around you.
Very good. Hunter, thank you for joining us, and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you, Bart. I appreciate it.
Hunter Moore visiting with us, and when will your study be finished? When will you move on to another part?
Well, I've had to move on to other courses for now, but I've kept my relationship with Los Angeles. I performed with them in a service at St. Rose, and I hope to continue the relationship.
Hunter, thanks again.
Thank you.
Hunter Moore visiting with us on this first segment of our focus on Middle Tennessee State University. Stay with us. Much more to come.
Thank you. We're all about saving you money.
I'm Dave Ramsey on WGNS, Rutherford County's place to talk.
Weekdays from 1 to 4 on WGNS.
This is Amanda from Animal City. I'd like to invite your family to come do business with our family. It's especially important this time of year to make sure that your pet is protected against fleas and ticks. Here at Animal City, we have a wide range of products to make sure your pet stays safe. And if you're looking to add a new family member, we have a variety of pets waiting here to meet you. Here at Animal City, we have a stunning variety of pets, ranging from the traditional to the exotic. This is Amanda from Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street, Murfreesboro.
I'm Peter Demas, inviting you to eat with our family at Demas's Restaurant. One of my favorites at Demas's is the sirloin steak with a side of meat sauce spaghetti. But other one of my favorites is my mother's dish of the chicken salad that we put into the pineapple. Because the chicken salad not only has the grapes in it, but it also, by adding it to the pineapple, it gets a little bit of that sweetness. It is absolutely out of this world. And then if you're really hungry, I encourage you to get the oven-baked chicken. This is Peter Demas. Come eat with my family at Demas's Restaurant at 1115 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
Well, good morning. Still moving right along at this point as we check it out live on 24 westbound up by Elmaville Road, 840. Still got quite a bit of traffic towards Franklin, Williamson County, 41. Still crowded also there. Continuing inbound all the way up into Smyrna. Hey, celebrate autumn this year in Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest, going on now through October 28th. Check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Periods of showers and thunderstorms here this afternoon. Cloudy skies and a high into the upper 70s. Southwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting as high as 30. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujicic on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 64.
Experience real hometown banking. I'm Shelley Rigsby, manager of First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We're at 2230 Mercury Boulevard. We are a local community bank. We offer a personal one-on-one experience with each of our customers that you will not be able to get with the larger institutions. Come see us at the Bank Murfreesboro Calls First. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, Mercury Boulevard, member FDIC.
There is no safer place in the storm. Talk Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
We're continuing our focus on Middle Tennessee State University. A lot happening over there, and a lot of exciting things are about to happen, especially a little competition that has been around for a while. And we're going to be talking about that right now. Diane Turnham's with us. She's the Associate Athletic Director. Diane, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. And you brought Ray Wiley, Associate Director of MTSU Campus Recreation and longtime Red Cross volunteer.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good to have you here. And it's not a coincidence that we're talking about athletics and Red Cross and things of that sort. What's happening that the whole community can be a part of?
We've got our big three-day blood drive coming up soon in November on the 18th, 19th, and 20th. And we're hosting it again at Campus Recreation on the beautiful campus of Middle Tennessee State University.
Bleed blue. That's hard to say.
It is.
Bleed blue, beat WKU. Which is Western Kentucky.
Yes.
And
that has been a rivalry
for many, many years. How many of those years have we been beating them in the blood drive?
I think we are 7-2.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah. Seven and two.
Who's counting?
Yeah. We want to keep the streak going, too.
Absolutely. And it goes to a very good cause, the American Red Cross blood drive. The gift of life, which is what the Red Cross calls it, and it truly is the gift of life. We're moving into a time of the year where blood donations go down a little bit, mainly because we get into the holidays, and it's hard to picture that we're that close to it, but we're not that far away. Tell us, when is this beginning? How do people give blood to help this cause?
Well, we try to make it as easy as possible. It is the largest blood drive in Rutherford County, and it's amazing that we get to keep all the blood, obviously, in our county. So at the rec center, we do a couple of things to make it easier for the people in our community to come out and be a part of this blood drive. You can come to the rec center, and we'll have reserved parking. The blood drive will run every day. Starting on Monday, November the 18th. That's right before Thanksgiving, at a time that we're all thinking about how thankful we are for everything we have. And to give the gift of life is an incredible thing to do, hopefully that week before our students go home for Thanksgiving. And we hope the people in our community come out and take part in this blood drive. It will go every day from 11 to 6. And if you go online and look for our blood drive at the MTSU and put in that code, then you will be set up and ready to go. And we encourage everyone to do that because it makes the process so much smoother and so much quicker. But it's a huge drive. We'll have the people there from the Red Cross ready to aid you as soon as you step in the door. And if you make that appointment ahead of time, then you're going to be in and out pretty quickly. And it's an incredible thing to see our students and our community come out and take part in this, because, you know, we've all been affected and someone in our family has needed blood to save their lives. And so we're just so excited to partner. Yeah, if we're on the field of competition, we want to beat them. And yeah, we like to win the blood drive, but no one loses in this drive, because we were talking to the Red Cross not long ago, and when you add up all of the blood that both campuses have raised over the last 10 years, we've saved over 19,000 lives, and that's pretty incredible to think about.
That really is. Now, this continues November 18th through the 20th. Is that right?
And, correct.
And where do we give blood? Where is that?
On the rec center, if you come off of Rutherford Boulevard and come into the roundabout and go to your left, the rec center is there, and we'll have reserved parking. So that's on the Middle Tennessee State University campus. That's a premium. So we want to thank Ray and everyone at the rec center for doing that. But we try to make it as easy as possible for our community to give blood that day.
Very good. So circle those dates, and let's get over there and bleed blue and beat WKU in this blood drive, November the 18th through the 20th. A little bit closer, but also dealing with Middle Tennessee State University and sports. Homecoming is around the corner.
You know, that Ray and I were just talking about that. It's an exciting time, and we just hope everyone in Murfreesboro decides to come out and come onto our campus. You know, we hope to be a vital part of this community, and we're excited about everything that's going on our campus, so many incredible academic programs. But we also have a few athletic events, and homecoming's a great time for so many people who haven't been back on our campus to come and visit. There'll be a parade on Saturday morning right down Main Street and then down the beautiful new Middle Tennessee Boulevard. And we would like to invite everyone to come out. And then, obviously, the game will be at 2:30. And, you know, they had a rough weekend, but they're ready to bounce back. And we need everyone in Murfreesboro to show their true blue spirit and come out and support them. But all week long, there's a ton of activities. Ray, I think you have a huge event at your place tonight.
We do, yeah. We're hosting a great event for our students on campus. We're going to be having a skating event and also a haunted house.
Oh, it's that time.
All these things all at once.
Yeah, and I think Wednesday night they have a chili cook-off, and then game night right there in Floyd Stadium. So if you've ever had a yearning to be on Floyd Stadium's field, come on out, because we're going to have a lot of students out there competing against each other and having a great time. You know, it's that time of year when we have so many local teams playing, and some of the high schools have already started playing football and getting near playoffs. But we just hope that you come out to the campus and look around and see what we have to offer, because if you have not been on our campus in a while, there are so many things that you never dreamed of that are there. So it's a great place to be, and we want to see you especially this weekend in your blue.
And a new group of Golden Raiders will be celebrating.
That's true.
The class of 69, I believe.
I believe
it is.
That is correct. That's so hard to imagine, but yeah.
If you were in that class, you definitely do not want to miss this one. And for more information on that, so that they don't miss anything, can they call the Alumni Association, or who should they get in touch with?
Certainly the Alumni Association. Obviously in athletics, we'll be happy to help in any way. You can call the main number, 615-898-2450, and we'll give you that information that you need for homecoming, shoot you to the right direction to buy tickets. We have quite a few promos, so it's an exciting time. If you want to buy a ticket online right now, you can put in a promo code Phil Floyd. I'm going to shamelessly plug that. And get a $24 sideline seat right behind our opponents for only $11. So
wow.
go online now. You don't get that opportunity often, but we want to fill that stadium up. So to fill the Floyd, use that promo code and we'll have you an $11 ticket. It's a great, you can't get better than that for your family. It's going to be a great afternoon of entertainment. And we just want to thank everyone. And that's our way of showing appreciation for coming out to the other games. But let's come one more time and fill that Floyd up.
Absolutely. And you mentioned again, let's touch on the parade, the homecoming parade this weekend. What time will that be and where should we be?
Well, you can be anywhere on Main Street. It starts, they line up on Manny. They'll come down Main Street and turn onto Middle Tennessee Boulevard. There'll be floats. There'll be athletic teams. There'll be sororities, fraternities. It's just an incredible time. You'll get to see the homecoming court. So I think several distinguished alums.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a
bands,
great time.
Lots of bands.
The Band of Blue will be in full charge, and they do a phenomenal job. And I believe the parade starts at 9. So you can come out, see the parade. I think the Alumni Association is sponsoring a lunch in conjunction with the BRAA right behind the stadium. So it can be an incredible day full of lots of excitement, and you can see lots of people you haven't seen in a long, long time.
Oh, boy. We guarantee you'll have a ball.
That's right. And then after they have all that fun, they got to remember to come out in early November to that blood drive.
That's right.
That's the most important thing. You know, it's just – obviously, competition makes all of our spirits rise and get us excited. But Ray and I are passionate about this. Chris Massaro, my boss, kind of brought this with him when he came to us from South Carolina. Clemson and South Carolina do this. A lot of rivalries do this. And so for ourselves and Western to have an impact on our community this way, you know, we ask for your support a lot, especially at things like homecoming, but it's a time that everyone can give back to our community. Our athletes get involved, all of our campus groups, student government, fraternities, sororities, they step up and they give blood, but we want everyone in our community to come out and be a part of that in November. So November 18th, 19th, and 20th, the place to be is at the Rec Center at MTSU.
And you mentioned 11 to 6 each day.
11
yes.
to 6 each day, and we really need this blood because we run shortages all the time. I think we're down to like a 3-day supply, and that's low. And
what do we like to be? Because I know you've been involved in the Red Cross for years.
Oh, they want the shelves filled. And right now, like this past summer, Diane and I went to a meeting, an annual meeting between us, Red Cross, and WKU. And we got to see firsthand where that blood is stored, and those shelves were low.
Right.
And so we're just encouraged that in the past, so many people have come out to this drive and offered this support. And we're hoping for it again this year through the community, the campus community, and our local community of everyone who's a blood donor. We want them to come out, make an appointment. You can make an appointment at redcrossblood.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS, and they will get that appointment scheduled for you. There is an app called Rapid Pass, and if you put that on your phone and use it the morning that you're scheduled to give blood, it cuts down your wait time considerably because all those pre-questions that you're asked, you can answer on the app. And that will save you just a tremendous amount of time, get you in and out. We're going to have pizza that day
right.
for lunch, plenty of snacks. Got these really cool new
Yeah, Ray has one on. It looks
new
good.
Shirts. Yeah, thank you. What color do you bleed?
That's
and we got
right.
both mascots on this black shirt. So we're excited to give these away to everybody who comes out and works the drive or gives blood. So we're really excited to do this again. at on the campus of Middle Tennessee State University at the Rec Center.
November the 18th through the 20th, each day 11 a.m. until 6 in the evening.
Yes,
Bleed
sir.
Blue for WKU and beat WKU.
That's it.
All righty. I thank you both for joining us and filling us in on the Bleed Blue beat WKU and also homecoming activities this week.
Right.
At MTSU. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun happening.
We'll see you there.
Yeah, great to be with you. Great to be with you this morning.
Good to have you here. And we've been talking in this segment with Ray Wiley and Diane Turnham. Much more to come. Stay with us.
Receive breaking news, sports scores, traffic, and weather bulletins on your cell phone. Sign up for text alerts at WGNSradio.com.
This is Ron Hall with Farrah Construction. We at Farrah Construction also offer a 24-hour emergency service. Whether your shingles are blown off your roof, you have a tree on your roof, or if you have your whole house flooded, we offer a 24-hour emergency service. We can also help with any frozen pipes. We're family here at Farrah Construction. We care about you.
Give us a call at 615-893-6120. That's Farrah Construction Company.
Hearing Aid and Audiology Services with Dr. Sean Lancaster.
We sincerely care about your hearing needs. Anyone who hasn't been by to see us, come by and try the new products.
Dr. Sean Lancaster.
Hearing devices that, in my opinion, kind of do it all. Even people who have worn hearing aids before are reporting that they're hearing better in noisy situations.
Dr. Sean Lancaster.
With Hearing Aid and Audiology Services, 608 East Clark Boulevard.
In 1962, our family set out to make homes and businesses colorfully beautiful. Since then, Hoover Paint Store has been making houses look like homes through color. I'm Tim Bowling, and our family makes color easy. We keep a file under your name and year of the color for each room. If you need to touch up or repaint a room, Hoover Paint Store creates the perfect match. Hoover Paint Store in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Shelbyville, Cool Springs, Green Hills, and Cookeville.
The Daikin Fit from Precision Air for your home's heating and air system. No money down and financing starting as low as $89 a month. Call Precision Air, 615-834-3777. Online at precisionairtn.com.
Periods of showers and thunderstorms here this afternoon. Cloudy skies and a high into the upper 70s. Southwest winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour, gusting as high as 30. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 64.
This is Jeff Graham with Tire World. I want to invite you to visit our new off-road department at our Memorial Boulevard location, featuring lift kits, leveling kits, light bars, as well as wheel and tire packages. Just come by and ask for Gator for all your off-road needs. That's Tire World on Memorial Boulevard.
Hey, hi, and hello there.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett.
Fun lovers and truth seekers.
Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS AM FM online.
Hey, welcome back. We are focusing on Middle Tennessee State University. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about a special program about the importance of finishing your degree. And visiting with us, John Birchfield and Peggy Carpenter. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Do a lot of people start off with great intentions of going through the degree and getting their degree and something comes up and they drop out?
They do. Often adults will get started, or I guess people even right from high school will get started toward a college degree. Life happens and they have to either take a break, or they decide that what they started with doesn't really work for them. Or sometimes they're even offered a great opportunity that they decide to take at that time and do stop out and don't finish what they started.
So this is an opportunity for people to pick up where maybe they left off. And what is a logical point to do that? I mean, if you have 3 years left, that might be a challenge to just let me finish up that degree. I just barely got started, but don't give up, though. But what are most of the people that you're finding coming back after? How much have they accomplished so far?
Well, we work with students who are doing it from the very beginning and don't have any credit at all. But generally, our students have maybe 1 year of college finished, but we have some who have as much as three and a half years finished and maybe just didn't finish their final semester. So we work with students in the whole range of credits earned.
Okay. And do you give any additional credit for, let's say they've been working for 5 or 10 years in the area that they were studying? Can they get any credit hours for that?
Absolutely. We are actually the state leader in prior learning assessment and the awarding of that kind of credit. We will work with adult students who have a good professional work history to try to find ways to help them earn credit from alternative methods.
Okay, so is there a one-on-one session coming up, or is it a mass auditorium full of people? What's happening?
Bart, so this is an exciting opportunity we have for the residents here, and this is going to be a stop-in and go, answer your questions, kind of what are your – we understand there's challenges that if you were to return to school, how do I get admitted, you know, what are the costs? How long is it going to take me to finish? So this is a opportunity for individuals to come in and talk one-on-one with one of our degree counselors or advisors about assisting them and helping them answer those questions and getting back into the classroom to finish these degrees.
Now, where will this be and when will it be?
This will be this Wednesday evening. We're going to start at 4 o'clock p.m. and we'll be there till roughly 7 p.m. at the Chamber of Commerce. And that's off of, it's Medical Center Parkway, 3050 Medical Center Parkway.
Okay, so it's a come and go, just drop in at your convenience this Wednesday evening at the Chamber of Commerce. Do you need to let you know that they're coming?
We have advertised this. We are on Facebook at MTSU Online. You can go there and put an RSVP in there, or you could call the number 615-494-7714, and that way we'll know you're coming and have plenty of food and refreshments and giveaways and prizes and things like that. So it would be appreciated if we knew you were coming, but if that's not possible, we'll certainly talk with you when you arrive.
Okay, so there will be plenty of people there to help you with your situation. Should they bring with them any other information about what they've accomplished at MTSU in previous years?
If they have any of that information, if they have past college transcripts, copies of those, they could bring them, and we could do an unofficial evaluation for them on the spot and talk a little more specifically. But if not, just come, and we'll start the process, start the conversation, and we'll go from there.
Okay, so if you can, RSVP, let them know, 615-494-7714. Or if that doesn't work out, just drop by. And that's coming up this coming Wednesday, 4 until 7 in the evening, at the Rutherford County Chamber of Commerce, 3050 Medical Center Parkway. Now, this is not the first time you've done something like this, and it's certainly not the first time that you've encouraged people to come back and finish your degrees. How long have you been doing this, and what kind of track record do you have?
Well, we have, this is maybe the second event of this kind that we've done like this, but this is what we do every day. Students come into our office, we talk by phone, we visit companies, and talk to students one-on-one, because our programs are very individualized and they work differently for everybody. And so we really like the one-on-one conversation and being able to look at their past, their history, their goals, and help them find the degree that's right for them.
And, of course, if you do finish your degree, and a lot of people who are working with a business, those businesses sometimes say, we'll help you cover the cost of that, because it makes a big difference for them as well in having a better trained employee.
Absolutely. There are many companies in our area that offer tuition reimbursement or some kind of tuition assistance program. Often employees don't even know about those. So we have found that by visiting the companies and starting that conversation with their human resource offices, that that information is being disseminated in a better way. Mm-hmm. And so employees are beginning to take advantage of that and not kind of leaving that money and that benefit on the table because they're offering it to you.
Now, a lot of times people are thinking, I would like to have finished my college degree, but for one reason or another, I just did not do it. And now I'm working full time and mm-hmm. I'm raising a family. I don't know how I can put this together. Are you needing to be a way to take these classes during classroom time? Is it online? How do you do it?
All of those ways. Okay. And that's part of what the conversation is about, because some students do like coming to the traditional classroom, coming to campus, coming to classes. We offer it online. Everything that we offer can be finished completely online, or they can mix it up. We even have hybrid classes where you might meet a couple of times a semester. The rest is done online. Whatever way a student wants to do it, we can help them find the path to do that.
Okay, so whatever their schedule is, you can make it happen.
Absolutely. And they don't have to bite off the whole chunk at one time. You know, we can start one class at a time. We have some classes that meet for only 5 days. And so we'll find a way and find a place for them and find something that will work in their schedule.
Now, what you said, some classes meet for only 5 days. Mm-hmm. And after that period, you finish the class? Is that right?
They do. They are attached to our applied leadership program, mm-hmm. and we have some intensive classes that will meet for 8 hours for 5 days, sometimes even over weekends. So like I say, we have the options there, and that is where our conversation comes in, is we have people that will be at the event and people in our office that will help a student find the schedule that will work for them to reach their goals.
Okay, so a good starting point is this coming Wednesday, where you have one-on-one conversation about you, your specific needs.
Exactly.
And so that's coming up Wednesday at the Chamber of Commerce, 4 until 7 in the evening at the Chamber of Commerce this coming Wednesday. Again, the RSVP number, and they would prefer that you do that, 615-494-7714. But if that is not possible, you don't know until just right there that afternoon coming home. Still drop by there. Don't let that slow you down. And you mentioned about some businesses will help you pay for the mm-hmm. college expenses. Do you have any information about that when they're talking with you Wednesday? If they say, I work at such and
yes,
such.
Yes, some of them we do. Some of them we do know what their tuition reimbursement and assistance programs are, and we'll help with that, and we'll certainly help them know who to talk to at their companies to find out.
Okay, so just a whole lot of information to make this easier for you, and you still have that pride in getting a college degree, and you have that Blue Raider pride too. I mean, there's a lot, especially in this area. If you're a Blue Raider grad, you have a feeling, well, like this weekend with homecoming. Mm-hmm. That's your homecoming. So you need to be a part of this. And don't let a change that you made years ago change that for you. Go over and finish that degree at MTSU. Will any of the other, are there other areas, if your company that you work for doesn't cover the expenses, are there some scholarships or are there other opportunities that
sure.
might be available?
There are transfer scholarships that the university offers. There are new student scholarships offered through the university, as well as we will also have information that night on a list of private and public scholarship opportunities to give students as well.
Okay. Now, if you were in a two-year college, one of the junior colleges, and mm-hmm. have that behind you, and you did not, for one reason or another, go on from there, and you have 2 years left mm-hmm. to get your degree, does that work as well?
Absolutely. Students who have already earned an associate's degree, associate of science or associate of arts degree, are very good candidates for our programs because they will have earned all of their general education classes and probably most of their electives. So all we have to concentrate on is just that major and finishing that up. And that's with the beauty of our majors is that they can design the program that they want. And so it works very, very well.
Okay. Once again, that date is this Wednesday. And we're mentioning that a lot because people hear this and they say, well, what day did he say? Wednesday. This Wednesday from 4 until 7 in the evening at the Chamber of Commerce. That's right across from the Avenue of Murfreesboro, across from the hotels at 3050 Medical Center Parkway, 4 until 7. Do you have a special room, or you walk in the front door and you'll know exactly
just
where you
are? Just walk in the front door. We will all be there. It is an informal evening, so it's come and go, so come at whatever time you can. Just come and talk to us. Just come and have some conversation with us and let us see what we can do.
And it may not be the thing for everybody. Maybe not the thing at this time, but at least you will get some information and you'll have a better understanding so you can make that decision. That's so important. Do you find that people who have completed their college degree, not only do they get a certain pride, but they also find the financial rewards for having a college diploma?
They very much do. We hear all the time from our students that one of the reasons they come back is just to finish what they started. You know, it was something they started. It's been a goal for a long time. Many times in our area now, we're also hearing that companies are requiring a degree just to take that next step for promotion. Even if they've been doing the job for years and years, they can't seem to move up. They hit that glass ceiling until they have that degree. And so our programs offer that opportunity for them to do that very quickly because of the prior learning assessment and things like that.
Okay. So not only will you have that sense of accomplishment, which is a phenomenal thing to have, but you also will see some financial rewards in most cases.
Most cases.
So come and find out. I mean, everybody is different. And so this is a one-on-one. It's not a general speaking opportunity where you just hear a talk about this opportunity. But it's one-on-one, what your needs are, what you've accomplished, and what's available for you. So any final thoughts that either one of you want to share with us here?
We would love you to come by and talk with us. We know there's, like I said again, there's many challenges, a lot of questions for a returning adult. How do we get admitted? How do we find our transcripts? We will guide you through that process, and that's what this event is for, is to help you understand what it will take and the amount of time to finish your degree at MTSU with all of the available options, flexible options that we can offer at MTSU.
Very good.
So come by. We'd love to talk with you.
Peggy, any final thoughts from you?
Like John said, just talk to us. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's just two friends sitting across the table. Let us show you what we can offer. If it works for you, we'll show you how to do it. If not, that's okay too.
Don't let this opportunity slip away.
Absolutely.
Peggy Carpenter and John Birchfield visiting with us this morning from MTSU, and a program coming up this Wednesday on finishing your degree. If you started your degree and for one reason or another, doesn't matter what the reason is, for one reason or another you did not finish, you have an opportunity, and it may be easier than you thought. And that special meeting Wednesday, 4 until 7 in the evening at the Chamber of Commerce at 3050 Middle Tennessee or other Medical Center Parkway, 3050 Medical Center Parkway at the Chamber of Commerce. Thank you both for taking time to join us today and telling us about this as well as the other MTSU activities. John, Peggy, thanks again.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for our salute to Middle Tennessee State University. Don't forget the Bleed Blue and Beat WKU coming up November the 18th through the 20th, 11 until 6 in the evening. Hey, have a great day.